The last thing is the completion card. So when you start this class, you get a card that tells you, you know, a handout that tells you where to find all the readings and all that kind, and, you know, what's required for this class. And at the end of class, you get this completion card where you can check these things off. So you can check off what you did, and if you finished the meditations and the readings, then you get Hemant's signature almost there to the bottom. So you tell him you did it, he signs it and says, yes, I took this class. And then you get this certificate. So if you're not done with this today, but you want to fill it out, you can get one, and then I'll hook up with him and get his signatures and stuff. So you can, you know, bring it back at the next module. Below his signature are a couple things that we don't do in this class. There's a meditation weekend that's required. You can go online and figure out how to do that on your own. But this particular one, precepts are required. So Donna and I are talking about how to, you know, make sure we keep offering opportunities for people to do a weekend retreat that includes precepts. So you might, you know, just get the top part of this done and then hold on to the rest. But the bottom part of it is if you want to finish this course to FPMT standards, if you're ultimately going to finish all these modules and get a DB certificate, then you, you know, keep working on it. So tracking, working on it. If you ever fill out one and hand it back to me, I scan it in, and then it's also online, and so we know what you've turned in. So I have some from past courses, for example, Death and Rebirth, and that was just the one right before this that Robbie taught. So if you haven't turned that one in, go ahead and get that one in, and I'll get Robbie to sign those. I also have a couple from Karma, which Steep is teaching the next module, so I'll be easier to get her. So if you haven't finished up any of these, Death and Rebirth, especially Karma, which is before that, and this one, you know, we don't have class again until January 8th, so all the time to meditate and read. And then if you want to turn them in, we'll keep tracking them and keep working towards this foundation of knowledge that we're trying to establish with these, with all of this information in these courses.
Thank you.
Is that clear? I think I'm getting clearer at this. So. Thank you.
Thank you. So before we even do a little calm abiding meditation and motivation, how many are actually finding that this class is helping them either improve their established practice, or they have started to establish practice, or they are thinking about it? Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. I'll tell you, I'll thank you at the end, but I'm going to thank you first. Because of you, my practice is even stronger. So let me tell you, when you have to sit here and talk about the subject matter, you know, there was a saying when I learned as a youngster, if you eat salt, you can't tell other people not to eat salt, right? So if you're talking about some of these things, I had to really, really look at, am I really practicing what I'm talking about? And when you do it, it makes it easier for you to say something about it, right? There are still things in there that I like to improve, but it's amazing how this interaction, after the class discussions, getting to know various people, you know, Diane and Gary and Eric and all of these people, it just amazes, it also improves my practice, so I also want to thank you for that. Okay, so with that in mind, before we do a review, let's do a little quick motivation and bring our mind here today. So let's do this. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second. Okay, so just again, get your posture together if you're sitting down. Obviously, you know the seven postures. If you're sitting in a chair, feet flat on the bottom of the floor. Make sure your hands are resting properly, thumbs touching each other, a little space. Don't want to be rigid. Just make sure you're comfortable so you can be a little relaxed. So, and then close your eyes, half open or half closed, and just kind of let your mind just breathe in and out. Focus your mind on the breath as it's coming in and going out. If you notice that your mind is racing, or it's thinking about different things, it's okay. Just observe it, and for a moment, tell that thought to just say, go away, and bring your mind back to your breathing. Do that for about a minute or two. While you're still in that little calm state, let's set a strong motivation. As we begin to bring more energy into this body and mind, make sure that the spine is straight. Take a few deep breaths again, and just realize releasing the energy freely. Invite Shakyamuni Buddha's presence to this place. Seeing his very radiating golden light body, and feel the whole room pervaded by this golden light. Our mind and body are illuminated by this golden light. It passes completely through, bringing illumination to entire space. Just bathe in this presence of golden, radiating, energized wisdom light. Now call to your mind our wish to take advantage of the life that we have, to develop qualities, to be free from any impurities, any obscurations, any suffering, and remembering our wish for freedom, peace, wisdom, and energy. And especially call to the mind others whom we want to help, the kinds of suffering that we would like to stop. The kind of world that we would like to create and take responsibility to use our life's energy to do so. Exactly that. Ask all our teachers in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha here in the place to continue to bless our mind as we receive these teachings, that we may be able to hear exactly what we need to hear for this point in our practice, and that we may be able to put it into practice exactly in the manner in which it is intended to benefit all. We will keep Shakyamuni Buddha in our minds and we'll continue where we left off when we return to the end of the session. So keep Shakyamuni Buddha's presence right up there, and we'll continue with our teachings and review and so forth. Okay? So bring your attention to the class now. Okay, I'm not going to go through a detailed explanation of every little session. So anyways, this is session number 6 of DB module number 8, okay, establishing daily practice. We've gone through 5 sessions, and this is your last one today. And the goal today is, again, we will review of what we've covered in a little shorter way, and you'll find some duplication, because when I go to the actual part of this class, we'll start to bring it even closer. We kind of talked about a lot of things, but we had examples and some ways of doing it, some other options, and we're going to try to bring it closer so it's a little more linear in your mind of things you need to do and why, and what options do we have. It's not as easy as to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, do 1, number 2, number 3. It's not like that. We like to do that. It is certain things, there is a 1, 2, 3, and then they give you options depending on your practice, your wishes, your time that you have in the day or early morning, depending on your responsibilities. You have all these options. But every one of them is all about transforming your mind. And the ultimate goal, remember, is for you to become a Buddha. Period. Right? So you can look at all of these things and get confused sometimes when you see, oh my goodness, what do I do and what book do I read and what is this now and where do I find this? That's where the mind will go initially. But we're going to walk through a couple of things. I'm going to show you some books and I'm going to get you a little more familiar with our prayer book because you'll be amazed what's in there. The only confusing part is because there are quite a few options and different practices, you got to flip pages. But if you look at the contents and if you look at the index, you can find everything. And so what I ask you to do is, while I handed out this last time, this is only something to reference. This is one of the teachers who gave me and got me going because I was looking for 1, 2, 3. What do I do first? What do I do second? How do I do number 3? So it got me going, but it has everything you want to at least get going with. And then we're going to get into the Volume 1 prayer book, and I'm going to show you where all of these things are. So if you are sincerely looking to understand where to find these things and how to use this book, just write down some of those page numbers, okay? And take your time, or then come after the class, and I can walk you through them. And as you can see, that as I'm going through it, I have marked all the pages that I go through or I have gone through, and to understand them. And then it really puts everything in perspective, okay? So with that in mind, let's start a quick review. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but to cover 5 classes, you got to go through some of these things. So remember class number 1, we got an overview, right? And we started really talking about this is where rubber meets the road. You've been learning, you've been reading books, you go to Google, you look it up, you go to FTAT site, but you got to put it together, now do something about it. Okay, so that's where we started with. And then we really talked about what to do when you sit down for your session, also what to do in between sessions. It's one thing to sit on a cushion, it's a proper thing to do, but then that doesn't end your practice, right? It doesn't end your practice. You got to do it all day. Different things. You're always transforming your mind. This is not a part-time thing where you do this on a Sunday or a Saturday, and then the rest is like, okay, I am what I am, right? That's fine even if you do little, but do something. Right? So if we're going to walk through that, we went through that. I also talked about not developing insensitivity to Dharma. When you look at a lot of these things and start reading, at some point you get like, oh my goodness, there's so much. Right? And I keep on saying that to you, that keep an easy mind. Don't saturate it. Do it at your speed. And it's important that quality is more important than quantity. But there is A before B, so we could go through that. Okay? We also talked about some analogies like leather and butter, mind and dharma gap. We keep our mind here and dharma over there. We need to bring it together so it becomes one. Okay? We talked about how Lam Rim is our last chance. It's just the most wonderful way of managing your mind, and it gives you the entire path. And then somebody asked, how do I know that I'm progressing, right? So we talked about, like Dalai Lama says, do it for a year, check it out. And then think about, have you changed? Are you reacting the same way? Are you looking at things a little differently? Or if you're not, at least it's coming up, it's sparking that thought like, oh, geez, I should be doing this, right? Or maybe I should do it differently. That's a start, okay? And then we talked about the goal of the Dharma is, again, what? To become Buddha. Remember, each and every one of you, your journey is to become Buddha, enlightened, getting out of this cycle of death-birth cycle. Okay? And then we talked about a little bit about why this is a precious human rebirth. Correct? That it's not just a human birth. There are many people right now in Iraq and Syria, also human. But yours is a little precious. Why? You met Buddha Dharma. Something that will help you. These are tools and teachings that help you transform your mind. Okay, so, and then we talked about kindness of others through a little analogy of donut. It's my donut. I paid for it. Let me have it, right? But we never think about how that donut came to being, how many people worked the farms, and how the wheat came to be, and who did the sugarcane, and how it was put together, who transported it, so you could have it. So praising your karma, your wish comes true based on how you've been thinking, and you finally have because of kindness of others. And that's the biggest transformation we have to make in our mind. That is so eye-oriented and grasping mind right now. And again, the heart of this dharma is when we talk about helping others, it's a difficult concept for a lot of us, right? I can't even help myself. How am I going to help others? But it is something you need to develop, that when you're doing, when all these people have been kind to you, and just by being positive about it and thinking about it, you are already transforming your mind from me to others. And start with yourself, then go close to somebody that you care about, and then slowly you will see, you will feel released, you will feel so good about it. And that's the heart of this. You need to always think about, not only I want to get nirvana or enlightenment, but I want to be able to help others. That is the goal. Okay? Middle way. Okay, and then class number two, we really got into little nitty-gritty. So we started with, okay, so how do I set up an altar? What are my six preparatory practices? Hope you remember some of those practices. One being having a dedicated space for meditation. Whenever you obtain something to offer, it's obtained honestly. You know, you don't hint somebody, you don't cajole somebody into giving you something so you can offer. You want to make it your heartfelt offering. You want to sit in a proper meditation position and develop, take refuge, do a refuge prayer and develop bodhicitta. Okay? A mind that wants to help sentient beings, bodhicitta. And then you invoke the merit field. We kind of talked about what is a merit field. Whichever deity you are working on, the aspect of Buddha or Shakyamuni Buddha, you bring your teachers in the front. Why? Remember that sentence I keep on saying. If Buddha is like the sun, then the teachers are like the sun rays. So what they are talking of when they are teaching you, they are basically bringing all that lineage teaching to you. How lucky you are. How lucky we are. So kind of think that, and when you invoke that merit field, then you want to do seven limb prayers, your four immeasurables, your seven limb prayer, offer mandala, and then you make requests. You request teachers to come, stay, or become your teacher, or whatever you want to do, but you make heartfelt requests. Okay? And remember, when you do this, don't make it third party. This is transforming your mind. Kind of bring that together, because a lot of times for many people, it becomes, oh, this is what you're supposed to do there. But it's all about you. These activities is changing your own mind to become Buddha. So you need to develop these qualities. These are tools they're giving you to say, if you do this, and if you think this way, this is what will happen. Okay? So keep that in mind. We also talked about refuge a little bit, how it protects you during the day when you take refuge. It's like a child running to the mother, you know, no matter what happens. You're running, you know, and you're taking a little protection, right? Refuge is like that. Once you take a real good refuge in your own mind, then you're able to also protect your mind during the day. Check in once in a while. Okay? Then we talked about many different, there are so many meditations and so many sadhanas or practices. What do I do? And we kind of talked a little bit about that. That will start with Lamrim. Okay? And we talked about that these are, consider them different manuals. But eventually you'll see very similar processes in each one of them, except the deity prayers are a little different, right? And then we talked about, again, quality over quantity, and it's like peeling an onion. One little by little, realizations will come in. As you do this, you're going to go get those aha moments. Wow, yes, that's really happening. It's a wonderful feeling. Okay? And then we went to the third class and we talked about, you know, what meditations to do in what order. And when we are ready, when do we know I'm ready to move on to the next step? And we talked a little bit about you having that, evoking that emotion. When you're doing a death and impermanence or precious human rebirth, and when you've done it several times and you've really looked into it, you'll see when you sit down, you immediately are there. You will sense that story that has been in you, your experience, comes alive. That means you know that you're ready to go further and understand it a little better to the next step or next meditation. Okay, we talked about graduated path to enlightenment. We also talked about how to meditate on Lamrim. If you remember, I suggested that you take a look at the entire Lamrim titles in the context. Gives you a glance of the scopes or different meditations and where you're starting, what different things you can do. It gives you a great idea. Get familiar with that. Okay? And we also, at the same time, I think simultaneously talked about the foundation of all good qualities kind of covers the Lamrim. So we kind of went through that. And then choose the meditation that you're going to start with. So precious human rebirth or karma or death and impermanence and so forth, and get familiar with it. Okay? Then next class we talked about, you know, when the Dharma is soaking in, you start to get dreams, you get that positive feeling, you feel humble a little bit, you start to see that, like it's getting, this is a great feeling you get. Okay? And then we got a little more detailed about what to do in between meditation session and how it's tricky sometimes to keep mind protected. And so how those little virtuous actions you do during the day, kind of put those glasses on, the Lam Rim glasses, and kind of look at it. If you're working on precious human rebirth, kind of think all day about that a little bit here and there. When you see somebody who's suffering, you're going to say, oh, I'm so lucky to have this human rebirth and precious one, so I can practice. How can I help? Keep at that practice going so that it starts to transform your mind, correct? And then we talked about training in the verses. What I meant was take those little writings or little, a prayer or a little bit of sayings or whatever you have, some texts, and then put them all over the place or put it in a car and kind of remember those. And we talked about one or two from the eight verses of the training of the mind, and then gave you one or two that's very important that will help you. So we went through that a little bit. And then we, again, talked a little bit about walking meditation. And give an example of how Rinpoche, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, took people to the stupa, but then he took them sideways to the street just to show them this world is like a hallucination, lights and people and changing cars and things are just all the time moving around and nothing is stable or concrete. And we kind of translated that into our walking meditation the following class with impermanence. Okay? So think about those things. We also did a self-evaluation practice, gave you a little card saying if you want to. Remember, this is not a must-do things. These are all the options where you can improve your practices. You know, in old times, they used to have black rocks and white rocks, and monks used to put in the white ones for the good virtuous actions, and the black ones in another bag. At the end of the day, they would look at how many black rocks they had, and they had to confess and do prostrations for each one of those. So that's a one way to check your mind during the day, subtle things we do into the negative things we do. So we did that, and keep a little book or a diary. And some people who have a habit of writing it, we write it down. Right? So we kept that in mind. Then we talked a little bit about different mantras for everyday activities that you can do. You see them on the door. So when you're going out today, look at some of those mantras on the door. When you enter the center, when you go through this door, there are some nice little sayings there. Those are actually the mantras that Lama Zopa Rinpoche says. When you somebody's sitting down and you're lifting him up, you tell him you're bringing people from the lower realms. When you're sitting and getting up, you know, you're driving a car, I'm guiding all the people to the great vehicle. You can create some very nice little things. And this is all training your mind at all times. This is not you must memorize every word. This is creating a positive mindset. And then we talked about the different vows. And, you know, people get confused between lay vows and bodhisattva vows and pati moksha vows and all these vows. So I give you a little snapshot of what those vows are and what are precepts and how to do them. And it also, you know, requests that you try it one time. If not for a whole day, try a half a day or 2 hours. Just try it. Live in the shoes of a monk to see how that is. And it will really help a lot. You will realize what it is to be when they take vows, what it's like to be a monk. Okay? And then we talked about prayer wheels, how people use prayer wheels, and they always think about having the prayer go out in the wind to all the people. That's a wonderful way of spreading, you know, expanding your mind, right? It's a wonderful way. Then we talked about rejoicing in others. It's a tough practice sometimes. When somebody's very happy, you start to think, why not me? You know, think about how our mind goes directly. Somebody wins a lottery, somebody does something good, and it's like, oh, I wish it was me. So learn to turn that over and saying, I'm happy for you. That's, again, training that bodhicitta mind. You are getting your karma, your actions, you're working with that. They're getting their results of some of their karmas, and you don't know where that will go, but work in your own mind to develop this expanded mind. So that was what we talked about. And then we got into some really nice little yoga of eating, yoga of sleeping, and then we closed it. And the last class, we really focused on accumulating merits, purification practice, and making heartfelt requests. And the last thing I said was, don't push too hard. Don't get this torpor in your mind and saying, I can't do this. It's too much. Don't do that to yourself. Take a break. Walk away from it. But never give up. That's how you're going to win this. Because our mind is too complex. It has layers and layers of I don't know how many birds. And they use the word eons. I don't even know what that means. Right? But at least know that we've accumulated so many habits. It's not going to change because you just sat down for a few minutes and said, I did a meditation. And all of a sudden, now you're pure. No, you are slowly and steadily filtering it and work with the, on your own self. Okay? So with that, before I start our next class, I want to really ask, are there really any questions on the subject matter that we've covered? Any confusing thing or something that just doesn't make sense? Any questions? Yes.
I had one quick question about setting up an altar. Having a hard time finding a stupa. Do you have any suggestions on what could be?
So, yes. A couple of ways. It doesn't say you have to have an expensive stupa. Even if you go to the Nepali store, Himalayan store, Sherab store, they have little brass stupas. You can use that. If you are really sincere about getting a stupa that you can do prayers and go around and all that, Jampal can sometimes make one. And he makes it the traditional way, and you can even have things put in if you want to. But the idea that how you visualize stupa and how it benefits you, it doesn't need to be elaborate. It can be a small stupa on the right-hand side.
You can even use a pitcher. I was just going to say you can even use a pitcher, and if you want, I mean, there's a beautiful replica, a small replica of our stupa right on the altar. You could just take a picture of that and use it. So it doesn't have to be an elaborate stupa. It just has to be a representation of a stupa. So a pitcher can even work. Of course, it is wonderful if you can have something more than that, but a pitcher works fine.
As far as the placement of the stupa, I've seen a drawing in the daily practice guide that we have for sale in the bookstore, and it shows the Buddha in the middle, and then if you're looking at the altar, the stupa on the left, and no, the stupa on the right, and the text on the left.
Yeah, stupa, if you're facing it, right. Your stupa is on the right.
But then some people move it around, and I think I just got confused because that stupa right there is on facing to the left, and then I've heard it's Buddha's right hand, not the right side when you're looking at it. So any thoughts or just insight?
All it says that on the left you want to have holy books, uh-huh. Center is your practice deity or teachers, and then on the right-hand side is the stupa. I can clarify that to make sure, is it from Buddha's view? My understanding is from how you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, I think there must be layers of, like, more complicated or more in-depth. I mean, even the stupa that we have right there, the gold one that's to the left.
I think they moved it because of Taras were there, and then they wanted to put...
Yeah, right. There's both. Right?
Yeah, so they may have a duplicate. I don't think so. It's right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
because it's ultimately about your practice. But generally speaking, they say keep a holy books because that's where the 84,000 teachings are. Books can go even on the top of the Buddha because that's the main thing. You're learning the teachings of the Buddha. Even the teachers can be above Buddha. So some people put them on side, but the teachers can be above Buddha too because they are live. You know, they basically are like Buddha teaching to you. So some people will have teachers on a higher platform also.
Mm-hmm.
But in the idea is that center is your main deity or your teachers. And then you start from left to right, and you start with your holy books, statue, and then you go to your stupa. That is what, according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche's, how to set up an altar.
Right. Are we going to talk about actually filling water bowls
No, I don't think so that we're going to actually talk about it because it says to set up a water bowl. There is a beautiful book and we can quickly talk through it, time permitting. Not a problem at all. But, you know, we kind of mentioned the what we are offering, our Gampadhyam Pushpe, and we talked about offering the water to drink, washing the feet. It's like offering when a guest comes home and then you're offering incense. And then you're offering light you know, you're offering good smells, perfumes, offering food, and then they also offer music. And in some places, they don't offer the last one because your mantras are your music. Okay? So those are the ways they offer it, and they talk about how to keep them closely going. Again, they're teaching you mindfulness. They talk about cleaning it a certain way. You don't want to keep it empty once you fill it. You want to take that water and fill rest of it with little, you know, and then fill it up all the way to the top. Has a meaning behind it, you know, and you want to keep it close, about a grain far apart from each other. And in the end, you go backwards, emptying it, and then you wipe it out. And you can even put incense, I mean, in the beginning, and at the end, you wipe it out and turn it upside down, in short. And then when you first set them up, you can offer a beautiful cloud mantra. You do an offering mantra, and that's how you set the water bowls. But again, this is all pure offering. There's a wonderful book I have I can share with you that tells you exactly how to set it up. Okay?
Yeah, I think even the little practice book that we have in there goes into a fair amount of detail. So I'll just say, a lot of times we're doing water bowls at 6:20. If you know, if you come early and you want to just the hands-on practice, give like a very high level, kind of like what you're
saying,
but then you can also supplement with that book, so that if you want to get familiar with it, you get some logistics and then practice at home
with the
book.
Right. See, okay, so it's really not that difficult once you get the idea of how you want to do it and what you're offering mentally. And remember, we talked about these bowls, and I said don't even be contracted about it. Offer it huge. Make it big. When you're offering food, think about all the kind of foods you can offer. Remember, eventually, you're getting into your own Buddha state of mind. So offer wonderful things. Okay? So,
if you have this, like, great aspiration of all the things you're going to do every morning when you wake up, but then you actually run out of time,
yeah,
and you have a little bit of time, would you... Sometimes I feel that I spend more time thinking about what I should do than doing something. And then for a while I'll go have a phase where I'm doing all the things I want to do, and then I'll have a phase where all I do is breathe. Or, you know, so if you get to the point where you're just trying to make a habit every morning, or you're in a phase where you don't have that much time, what would you just focus on your breath? Would you just do water bowls?
So that's a couple of things. There are multiple questions in there. If you were to talk to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, he has one answer. But he's also then relaxed a little bit. He just said, you know, you will find time, or wake up early. That's what he says. Just wake up early and do it. He also goes into elaborate. But they've also offered you shortcuts. So many times I'm traveling. I'll give you my own experience. I'm traveling. I'm in between hotels, and we meet at 6:30 in the morning. Let's have breakfast and go to the show, you know. So sometimes it's a rush thing. But there are a few things you can definitely do. And once you get used to doing, like, the pre-motivation early in the morning, you're alive, thank you, we'll go through that today a little bit, you know. And then if you can't do the prostrations, you can do 3 prostrations. Right? You can develop bodhicitta, a couple of seconds. This is not a huge prayer. This is not a huge meditation. Just to have an intention that whatever I do today, I will be kind to others. I will be kind to myself. You know? Start there. And then you have daily practice, right? In your daily practice, you don't have a place right now, but you can carry a small picture. You put it in a clean place. Think in your mind that you've cleansed the place, you've cleansed your mind, make the offerings. You can say quickly in either Tibetan, or you can say it in English. But in Tibetan, they say, you know, you'll hear them saying argam, padyam, pushpe, dhupe. All that means is drinking water, washing your feet. Pushpe means flower offering. Offer these beautiful things in your mind. You're offering it, and you're offering to your Buddha mind. You can do that. At least you're practicing. And then, time permitting, now Lam Rim meditation, going into precious human rebirth and all that, that is all time permitting. If you don't have time, you know, hopefully you find some time to do it. But remember, in between session is as important as sitting on a cushion. So once you develop this positive mindset, why not practice it with daily activities you do? You take care of your children. You make breakfast for them. You drop them off. You pick them up. You have to go shopping. Bring in those Lam Rim glasses and take one practice that you want to do for a while and see if you can go through that during that practice and see you evoke some of those emotions. And when you do find time, maybe you want to do a little reading, take the Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand or the Lam Rim book and read about it a little bit. That's a good start. When you have time, you do it. You know, but to say, I can't do it, I don't know if there's a magic pill you have to practice to be able to do something to transform your mind. And things will come in your way many times, especially when you're trying even harder. But it's amazing that how you will find a little bit of time every day just to do the practice you need. And I'll tell you even in the evening, I'll go just jump ahead. For example, your Vajrasattva practice. So people will say, well, I don't know the 100-syllable mantra. I have to memorize it. Then I don't remember what to look at, how to visualize it. Don't make it so complex. They give you so many options. You want to read through the book as if you're reading just for reading it through. Kind of visualize it. Second time, you don't have time. You are laying in the bed. Say, Om Vajrasattvahum, 21 times. Three words you have to memorize, Om Vajrasattvahum. But once you develop a little bit of connection of what you're doing, you will automatically start to fall into, let me understand what I'm saying, let me learn a few more words, and then how do I generate regret? How do I generate reliance? How do I resolve this? Then you will say, oh, you know, today I did so many good things, but this one thing I really shouldn't have done. Well, then you're generating regret. Then you rely on Vajrasattva to say, please, I regret that I did this. I will try not to do it. You know, and then you start to cleanse yourself. So you can do little things like that. It doesn't have to be this special time you take to do. If you can, it is a wonderful thing to do. You want to take time and dedicate time and do it. But if you don't have time, you can spread it throughout the day, depending on your work hours and your responsibility. But no, you know, it's wonderful if everybody could just sit down and do it a couple of hours in the morning. We all cannot do it. But they give you shortcuts, and we'll go through some of those shortcuts today. Okay.
My main thought is like making sure I don't skip it just because I'm short on time. Knowing that there's a short, you know, okay, well, you know, like that.
Well, you know, I tell you what, can you at least when you're doing your purification of your feet, speech, you can do that quickly. Just even in the mind. If you know the mantras, if you don't know in the beginning, you may want to practice it. You know, sambhara, sambhara, vimana, saramadam, like that. You're going to practice it. Just visualize the fact that you're going to, everything you do from now on is going to multiply. So, my mind, be prepared to do these beautiful things. Then you cleanse your speech a little bit. At least if nothing else, and you don't go through all the vowels and the consonants, you can still say, look at Om on your tongue, rise as a deity, and say, my body and my speech is pure, so whatever I say today will have positive effect. You know, so there are little things you can do. That's your preliminary practice. You can offer some flowers, food, and the seven things. Seven limb prayer takes what? Not even a minute to say through it, right? And you can quickly go to that. I offer all things actual and imagine. You know, you can present clouds of all things actual and imagine. First you prostrate, of course. Then you offer things. Then you confess. Right? Then you say, I rejoice in the merits of all other beings, you know? And then you say, please, you ask your teachers to stay, and you dedicate. Seven limbs, done. Right? Four immeasurables, four lines. Say that, but you evoke that mind that, you know, may all beings be happy, have happiness, and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. You know, and the last one, the fourth, third one is, again, happiness, and the last one is equanimity, right? So you will just say those four lines and just think about it for a second. Done. So you can do that way. Now you can go elaborate into meditation of bodhicitta, and you can go into seven limb prayers and really one thing at a time and visualize it, then do a Lam Rim prayer, then do guru devotion, then read a book. You can do so many things like that, but you can at least have some sort of a discipline to do some of the practice as far as it's making an effect on you. As far as you're allowing your mind to relax and say, I am doing this to benefit my mind so I can be helpful to others. I don't know what else to tell you. It's a tough thing to do sometimes. Any other questions? Okay, so I did mention to you that you will today, we're going to get you familiarized with some of the prayers. So as soon as I'm going through this, we'll start to talk about different things. So let me just get to the beginning of the class, and then we'll take it from there. Okay. So, you know, we want to wonder how all of these things have come together. So just to start talking from the, we're going to go through the some one step at a time. In the morning, you know, so first of all, think about the practice starts at the night with the sleeping yoga. You're putting your head down in the lap of your teacher or Shakyamuni Buddha, right? So how wonderful that is. And then we'll talk a little bit more about that, what you should be thinking. But right now we've done that. You get up in the morning, his presence is right there because you've been sleeping in his lap. So taking that positive energy, develop a pre-motivation of for the entire day of how lucky I am. I'm alive today. I have met Buddha Dharma. I have a virtuous friend, teacher, who will guide me. And thank you. You know, simple words that you can personalize and develop bodhicitta. Doesn't take too long. Then if you have time, you do your confession Buddha practice. You want to do 3 prostrations and then get into the 35 confession Buddha if you have time. If not, at least understand what they are and do 3 prostrations. Doesn't hurt. Just do it in your mind. If you can read through it and not prostrate, that's fine too. But you can at least start that way. Then obviously once you do that, you want to start your preparatory practices like cleaning the place, arranging the altar, offerings, flowers, and some nice things you want to offer. Do your 3 prostrations. You sit down on your meditation cushion. You invoke Shakyamuni Buddha or your merit field and your teachers. So they in your mind, you are visualizing them right in front of you, making that connection with them. You want to do your refuge. And once you set up your refuge, then you want to do your 7 limb prayers and do mandala offerings, the 4 immeasurables. And you will see that it's not a memory. We'll go through this and you'll see every practice has these things in it. If you open up any of these practices, if you were to open this book or open the prayer book, which we'll today go through and I'll show you, exactly goes through this. Okay? And they have long forms and short forms. So it allows you a little bit of flexibility. Okay? And then, of course, if you have time permitting, you do your Lam Rim meditation, and then you put those glasses on and go throughout the day, practicing your whatever you're learning or you're training on, and then start using those bodhicitta phrases in different places to kind of get your mind again to evoke some of those, realizations and things you're working on. And then, you know, and think about it, when you drive a car, how our mind works sometimes. You're in a rush trying to get to work if you are going to work. What happens, you know? You lose your mind so quickly, don't we? It's a great time to practice. Say, oh, it's coming up. Let it go. It's not going to change whatever the outcome is. It's not going to make any difference. Why make it hard for anybody and myself? Take it easy. Just even little thoughts like that. Then you have to think about going to work. And this is when you can transform your mind and think deep about karma, you know, your life experiences. You know, not everything at work is pleasant, right? Not everything at work is pleasant. Some things go smooth. Some days you can't stand it. You know, people yelling at each other or things not getting done. Think about karma deeply and see how you can change that mindset. So, you know, think that your karma is there for you to face some of these things. But instead of acting instinctively, you can practice now and saying, what can I do? Why is this happening to me? Think about it. You think about why this is happening to me. And you're saying, okay, what can I do now so it doesn't happen again or next time? So it gives you that little moment of practice. It only happens when you've been doing some of your daily practices. Your mind will reach there. You know, you start to think, oh, all day long I've been feeling good. I've taken refuge. I just can't blurt this out. I need to be careful. Even that thought is very powerful. Okay? And again, remember, nobody's saying that you have to be a doormat. Let everybody walk over you. It's how you think. You can walk away. You can be firm, but without losing temperament. Right? So don't get angry. So those are the things you can learn. So examine all day. So work. And it says that when you're sitting on the cushion, you're really empowering your off the cushion life, work life. And when you're working, you're really empowering what you do and think about when you're on the cushion. So it kind of empowers each other. Okay, so it becomes a practice during the day. And then we talk about yoga of eating. You know, you say Om Mah Hum, or you can offer cloud mantra. You know, if you don't know the cloud mantra, I suggest you take a look at it, page 25 of this book, and we're going to go through some of these things. And you're offering to your teachers, you're offering to your to Buddha, and think of, you know, this Buddha is becoming, the light is coming through, your food is becoming nectar, and then you're partaking this nectar, feeding your mind of enlightened mind. That's the way to take sustenance. It's still connecting with the higher self, even while eating. It's a wonderful practice. So Om Mah Hum, body, speech, and mind. So offer your food when you eat and think of how it is going in your system and how the sustenance means what it means to you and how these teachers are pleased, Buddha is pleased, they're giving you blessing, the food becomes nectar, the nectar is going in you and it's enlightening your mind. So this is a small little practice. Three words, Om Mah Hum. And immediately see your teacher sitting there giving you blessings. See Buddha sitting there giving you blessings. And just take it in. Remember, it's your mind is blessing you. Okay? And then throughout the day, just make sure you watch this little virtuous actions that you do all day too. Not only negative things. You want to focus on good things you do. And emphasize those things in your mind a little bit. Right? And then remember at the end of the day you want to dedicate. Yes, sir.
How were you thinking in the daily practice and the lam rim? Let's see, we have the liberation in the palm of your hand. So if we are going to go through the whole thing, no? And every day we are going to read something with the idea to finish the book, no?
No. But your long-term goal is to finish the book. The idea is not to finish the book is the goal right away. You want to take one subject at a time. And they say sometimes it may take a week, it may take 2 weeks, it may take 3 weeks. You want to really understand that subject till it has a visceral emotion. It does something to you. It means something to you. And we'll go through it today. You need to, and I'm going to say it right now, matter of fact, you need to check every one of those things like in traditionally they check out gold. Buddha very clearly states that, you know, don't take just my words as truth. Check it out like you would check out gold in the old days. You burn it, you cut it, right? And you rub it. And you find out whether it's gold. You know, your experience is like burning it. Your analysis is like cutting it. And then you see within that book, are there any contradictions? One says offering is wonderful, the other one says offering is terrible. No, you need to make sure that what you're seeing and you're experiencing makes sense. When you have that experience, it becomes conviction. Now you move on to the next subject matter. And then later on you'll find as you reach certain subjects, they're all interwoven. Each one has a little bit of karma, a little bit of emptiness, a little bit of precious human rebirth. They all have a little interwoven, but you need to become familiar one thing at a time. And that's why we suggested that before you go into deep reading, it's a great reference book to read and understand, but go and take a look at a Lam Rim meditation book and just glance over all the different subject matters. So you kind of know, and then you take one subject at a time, and then you look into it. You may even have questions. You may not understand. They'll use words like, you know, you for the three great purposes of the 10 times in the 3 directions. And you wonder, oh, I lost it. So then you learn more about it. Oh, 3 times, past, future, and present. In the 10 directions, Buddha is everywhere. His aspect is everywhere in every energy. So north, south, east, west, and west, north, east, north, south, up and down. 10 directions. So when you start to see that, all of a sudden you can have a visual now. He's sitting there, is emanating light everywhere, all 3 times, time means nothing in terms of being enlightenment. And then you have this visualization. Then you read how it affects your life and what you're doing about it. And now you've gotten a little bit of aspect of that subject matter. then you move on. The goal eventually is, yes, you're going to go through the Lambrim because it's going to take you through the entire training, teaching that supposed to be your life, way of life.
Yeah, because let's see, you look, for example, the liberation of the palm of your hand, the book is divided in days, no? See, day one. If you try to read the day one, perhaps you stay the whole week reading, no? But it's day one, then day two, day three. So the thing that I'm saying is we need to go through the days. Mm. Perhaps take a year, no, or years to go to
sure.
every day, no? But this idea that you have day one, day two, day three, there is a kind of meaning in terms of...
Sure. So remember, this is a commentary, okay, when Lama Tsongkhapa is explaining in detail about what Atisha really wrote in Lambrim. These are commentaries. So these are people who are monks and at the time are in retreat all day long. They're working on something. You know, for us, if you can just capture the meaning, the essence of what they're trying to say, it doesn't matter how long it takes. You need to determine that. And when Geshe-la was teaching Lambrim, it took us, over a year, almost a year and a half? And still I don't think so he completed the entire thing. So it depends on how you can capture it, how detailed you want to get into it. So it doesn't necessarily mean our day one, you got to finish this chapter, day two, finish this chapter. Does it go inside your mind is more important. Right? And it tells you that. It just understand the quality over quantity. I mean, I can read through quite a bit of it in one day, but if only a few things go in, I may have to read it again. Some people like it. They go through it, then they start again, then they start to formulate. Different people have different ways of handling it. Right? Okay? So, let's talk about sleeping yoga a little bit. Sleeping, dreaming, and waking up. And all I'm going to say is that when you're putting your head down in the lap of the Buddha, maybe on the right-hand side, just like Buddha, say the mantra, Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha. And I just told you briefly last time, some of this mantra means all three scopes. Tayatha means the ones that the way it is said. First Mune is like the lower scope. Second Mune is the second scope. Maha Mune is the third scope. Soha, so be it. So you is enlightened being. So it's a great way to think about it sometimes. But you say that mantra and then set a strong intention that you continue your practice in sleep. What are you practicing here? Very similar to a dying process. When your body is going through this death process, intermediate stage, and then taking birth, it is no different than you putting your head in the lap of Buddha, making an intense a great intention to practice dharma, so you are even, you will have dreams of some dharma subject matter, and you're creating a habit in your mind, a training that, you know that when you have a habit of a certain thing, it happens all day long. How about sometimes you pick up a song in the morning, stays all day long in your head, doesn't it? You know, because you like it. Same way, if you develop this real need and an excitement to learn this and take it in and you set a strong intention that I really want to be enlightened and I want to make sure that when I'm passing through that my teachers and my mind, I'm guided in the right place. You want to have that feeling. So when you practice this, you're telling your brain to do that. And when you set a nice intention and do these mantras and then slowly go to sleep, guess what? You may eventually lead into a state of a dreamland where you are continuing to practice. You may be reading Lambrim. Some chapter, some words will come through. Okay? And then it is no different. So when your mind is habituated and when you are in dire strait or feeling a little constrained to when you're passing or not, where do you think your mind is going to go? It's going to go to where its habit is. What a great gift that is. Think about some of that fear going away. And if it is true that you're going to have to take a birth and your mind is already in the practice, the tendency will be where the teachings are available. Or continuous growth. Or even in an enlightened state. So think in those ways. Okay? So wonderful practice. So train mind again and again, and it says very easily, if your mind is trained in this way, it is much more likely to happen when you fall deeper in deeper consciousness of the death process. We've trained the habit of the mind. It will revert to the state in which we most habituated mind go to. Very easily said that. Okay? Any questions? So, okay, so in the morning practice session, again, if you look at it, they talk about preliminary motivation, which we already talked about, strong bodhicitta, I'm lucky to be alive, and that I haven't died, and so we've already talked about that. We do the prostration, purification of places, place, blessing and offering, recite. So let's take a look at it. I want you to take the golden book that is behind your chair, and let's go to page 169. What time is it? 8:02. Okay. So it says daily meditation practice, right? Everybody see that? Okay. Hold that page and now go to the front of the as soon as about page, I think it's 7, 8, 10, 9. Hold on for a second. Okay, page 15. Just keep that page open in your mind with your hand and go to page 15. It's the first page, actually. Morning activities. So you woke up. You are still energized because you are in the presence of Buddha that you slept in his lap. You've done bodhicitta, you may have done your confession, three prostrations, and then you go about doing your activities, right? You have to brush your teeth or whatever you have to do. But before, when you're doing, go around, sing, kind of walk through this a little bit. You mentally start, it says this mantra increases the merit of the day 100,000 times. Why not make that bank balance increase, just learn it a little bit. And you see, after a couple of days, you start to say these things. In the beginning, it's like, what does it say? Don't worry, just kind of start and know that you are just multiplying your merit for the day. That itself is a positive thought. Okay? Then you bless your rosary or mala. You have it in your hand, you can rub it if you have it, and then you can blow on it after you say, Om Ruchi Ramani Pavartaya Hum, Om Ruchi Ramani Pavartaya Hum, Om Ruchi Ramani Pavartaya Hum. It takes less than a minute, a couple of seconds. Okay? Then you bless your feet and you think about all these animals, any kind of bugs that come under your feet, may they be blessed. That you don't intentionally are killing them, but as you go about your day, put on your boots, shoes, some of them may come under, may they be released to a higher birth. And you can do that mantra. Then it talks about blessing speech. And if you don't know anything, if you just read what it's saying here, a little bit of writing that I arise as a deity on my tongue, syllable ah. And remember, Om, Ah, Hum, Ah is speech. Om is your, Om, Ah, body, speech, and mind. So Ah is the symbol or syllable for speech. And it talks about that into a moon disc on the top. It tells you what to do. Okay? Even if you don't read everything, visualize that you're blessing your speech. Okay? If you want to go into deep of it, they give you some of this vowels and consonants to say.
Recite the Ali vowels. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Yes. So if you say e, oo, ri, li, ai, o, aha, soha. If you want to do consonants, you kind of get into a rhythm. Ka, kha, ga, ga, na, cha, cha, ja, ja, na, ta, tha, da, da, na, pa, fa, ba, ma, ma, ya, ra, la, ba. Like you can just kind of go through it. Once you get that rhythm going, it starts to come. Okay? And then you say Om Mani Padme Hum, and you do a little request to Lama to be present during the day. Now you can go straight to your daily meditation practice. And remember, these things, once you get to know them, just think, it took me 5 minutes to just say it. You may read it, takes a little longer maybe, but you get used to it, you can do this. It starts to really happen like a habit. But you just think of it. Your body is being cleansed. Your speech is being cleansed. Your heart is being cleansed. Your feet are being cleansed. And you want to use them to benefit others. How wonderful that thought is. And once that is done, you set up. So let's go through this. You're setting it up. We talk about setting it up. You do your start with the prostrations. See, it talks about purifying your place. Everything that we've been saying right now as a list, what to do, you purify the place. Okay? Talks about blessing the offerings. They also tell you, Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, say the extensive power of truth. Talk about the three sublime jewels. It has a visualization. You can cut this short. It doesn't have to be this elaborate. You can find, there are different places you can cut some of the visualizations short. Then look, it has refuge meditation after that. Again, if you don't want to do the meditation, you can just basically say, I go to refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. By virtue of my merits, may I become Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. At least say that. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can do that. And here it is again, refuge prayer is also Namo Guru Bhyaya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Say it three times. So know in your mind you're taking refuge. If you want to get into it, if you have time, you can read through this. Okay, then there's a bodhicitta meditation if you want to get into it. But if not, at least the four immeasurables are there. And four immeasurables are just like bodhicitta. You're wishing for people's happiness for all. And for your mind to have equanimity. Okay, then starts the seven-limb prayer. Exactly as I have been talking about all the things you need to do, your morning preliminary motivation, then your six preparatory practices, think about cleaning the place and all that, do your, go ahead.
What page
are you? 178. Okay, so that's the seven-limb prayers. Look at it very carefully. First you prostrate, then you do offerings, then you confess, then you rejoice. Please stay until the samsara ends. You're asking teachers and Buddha to stay and continue to teach. And in the last thing, I dedicate all my virtues and myself to the great enlightenment. Then there's a mandala offering. And there's a short mandala offering. You don't have time to read through this. Look at on page 180. Simple four lines. Do a real nice, sincere mandala offering. Prayer for the three great purposes is recommended by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And all three things are in there. According to the three purposes, seize immediately all wrong conceptions, to actualize immediately all correct realizations, and then pacify immediately all outer and inner obstacles. Idam Guru Ratnam Mandalam Yami. So you are then basically offering up all your mandala offering. Then you make request, right? That's the last thing we do, heartfelt request. Well, here it is. Then it takes you through graded path of enlightenment. So here's your Lamrim practice. And then Buddha descends on your crown, absorptions, and then their dedications. And we didn't tell you, but there are some extensive dedication, like the King of Prayer is 10 pages. But then they have said that there are only two verses, if you can do those two verses, it is as good as doing all 10 pages, and it is the most powerful dedication you can do. And if you look at page 186, if you look at just as the brave Manjushri and Samantha Bhadra too, you see that third paragraph? That and the one below are the two paragraphs from the King of Prayers. That's your dedication. And you're done. And now, if you have time, do meditations, if you want to read a book, you want to do anything you want to do, at least you've covered some quick things, and you can write this down or copy and paste it in such a way that you can go through short version or long version as you wish. And that way, it doesn't take that long to do this. And once you do this, and then you make heartfelt requests, and you kind of visualize some of the things you're saying, you'll be amazed how your mind starts to transform and understand some of these things. Okay, and for those people who have this book, this very inexpensive book, has all of those things in here. exactly what I just showed you, but it's in a separate book. But I wanted you to see that all of these things are extensive dedications in the back. There's a lot of things in this book. Just look at the context and look at the index. You'll be amazing. Everything is there. It's just that you have to flip back and forth, but sometimes it just goes through very nicely. And they do that because they want to give you options. How deep you want to go, how hurry you are in, you can do some things, but at least it has everything in it. Okay? Any questions? Little clear in your mind? So whenever we are talking about morning motivation, doing your prostration, doing your six preparatory, I mean cleaning the place up, offering and all that, then do your four immeasurables, seven limb prayers, offer the mandala, do a little bodhicitta practice, there's a little guru devotion in there, and eventually absorb and become Buddha, and you become a light being that you awaken, and there's a shaft of light going out to everybody, everything is assimilated, comes back to the heart, and Buddha dissolves in you, and you will notice you don't see yourself as I. For a moment, you become just an enlightened being for a moment. It's an amazing feeling. Okay? So I want to keep that. Last thing before we do meditation, I know we did say last time, maybe we may go a little over because it's our last class. So the meditation I have today, the meditation itself is not long, but we're going to do extensive dedication that Lama Zopa Rinpoche does. So I will want to do that. But before we do that, one other piece that I wanted to talk about is doubt. You say you have a doubt right now that this is all good and dandy, but I really still don't feel that it really makes sense. Why am I doing all this stuff? They say doubt is one of the best thing you can do for your mind. Should have doubt. And they have an example. Gelsang Jay was a Lama. That is to think Lama Tsongkhapa doesn't cut it. Can't teach. So he would go with the intent to argue with him, to debate with him. And he was a big debater, won many debates, so he was very strong. So he wouldn't even take his little yellow hat out and sit in the same level as Lama Tsongkhapa. So he tried, but Lama Tsongkhapa kept on teaching. And more he heard, he came to a very quick realization who Lama Tsongkhapa really was and how much knowledge he had. He took his hat off, he bowed down and prostrated. Okay? And he became the lineage holder of Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings. So again, this is to give you an idea. It's okay to doubt. Remember, like the gold, check it out. If you have an experience, you know, there are four levels of faith. Okay? First one is inspiration. You look at Dalai Lama, Geshe-la, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you know, and you say, wow, that's great. Amazing. Wow, how nice. You feel inspired. Then you have an aspiration. Can I be like that? You know, so that's a great aspiration. Then you start to engage. Look at Gary. Came in the first day, started talking, started to help, and is now getting involved. You see how that's really progress. Your mind wants to do. It wants to grow. It wants to help. If you get engaged, right? And then eventually you do those activities. And that's how your faith, you develop conviction. Conviction comes from, your true conviction comes from, you know, you fully understanding the subject. You need to dice it a little bit. You need to put a doubt. And I suggest to you that go through it. Also develop friendships. Learn. Ask each other. Sometimes they tell you, talk to the person like you're talking about the subject. When you have to say it, you have to know it. And you'll find out where some things don't really still settle in your head. You'll find out your weak points. Then ask Geshe-la. He always says, if you have any questions, bring it to me. But you must check it out and make it your own experience. Just don't take the word and say, they said it, so I'm doing it. Feel it. Make it your own journey. And once you have that conviction in you, you will develop strong devotion. And once you have that, nobody can shake it. And I will tell you again, whenever you develop that kind of conviction, be aware, you're going to get interruptions, but don't throw the whole bag away because of one or two interruptions in your life. That is when you know you have conviction. When you know it is gold and you look at the sandbox, you know there's sand around it, but you can identify that gold. You know what gold looks like. Okay? So that was my main thing. And last thing before we go into meditation is also try to go on a retreat sometimes. It's not necessarily you go on this week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Great if you can do it. Those who are retired and have some money and can do it, travel, wonderful. However, you can go to a two-day retreat, a long weekend. Some people go for a walk. Some people go for one afternoon. Find a place where there is no billboards, no telephones, you know, no television, nothing that attracts you, you know, because what happens is, you know, sometimes we get lazy, right? And laziness can be, I think, three forms of laziness. I have one that I remember is just a pure dullness of mind. It's just dull. I don't feel like doing it. You know, I'm just going to lay around. The second one is when you do a lot of things, but everything that's not the practice, you'll go clean the house, you'll pick up this, you'll start look at the mess. Like, I'll get to it. You're doing everything around it but that. That's also a form of laziness. Okay? So kind of understand that how our mind works and accept it. It's nothing wrong. See, we all do it. I do it. You know, we all do it. But recognizing it, that that's one of my problems, I got to work around it. So how do I get myself back to this? And sometimes you just need a break. Get away from it. Leave it. But know what your experience is solid. And then pick it up slowly. Make it part. And you see, as you make it lighter and you filter it, it doesn't become this huge thing you have to carry around your head. Make it part of your life. Let it settle nicely. And then more you enjoy, you will get excited. You see, at one point, you don't want to give up. There are people, there are two types of people. People who take small chunks, and some people, once they start, they'll go on and on and on. They want to get into it. Same thing with concentration practice, guru devotion, everything you do. Look at it from a perspective and don't get so much in your mind that you lose the real essence of it. Put it in perspective and you'll see that it will start to blossom in you. Okay? Any questions on that? So retreat doesn't mean you have to go for 2 weeks away. If you can, great. But if you can take time off for yourself and just for a day, take a little break. Let the mind go. And kind of think about it. And you'll see how things still flutter around, how habits are still there, how things go away, and how many things you've done well. Don't underestimate your credits, too. There are many good things we do. That's why you are here. You met Buddha Dharma, right? So there's some very good things you've done. So think in those terms. So any questions on what does that daily practice looks like? People understand how you go to sleep. Then you wake up, prostrations, setting up the place, doing your all the prayers we talked about, right? Prostrations, your seven limb prayers for immeasurables, mandala offering, making request. Then putting your glasses on, going to work. Practice continues, pick a subject in your mind and see it from a different glasses. You know, you already have Buddha's energy in you, so you cleanse yourself, protect yourself during the day. Things will come. You may lose a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but kind of manage that as best you can. You come home. It's very difficult to do evening practice. As Lama Sopa Rinpoche says, do another 30. It's very difficult when you come home 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, tired. At least do 3 prostrations. And sometimes just doing 3, you'll say, oh, this is not so bad. It actually is kind of fun. You yourself may want to do more, but do it at your pace. Do a nice Vajrasattva practice. You know, think about your teachers, little guru devotion in your mind, put your head in the lap of the Buddha, go past into your dreamland, continue your practice over there, next day wake up, so it never goes away. If you think Dharma was a part-time thing, you're in a different world. It's an everyday thing, but it is transforming your mind. Only this is the way you're going to change years and years of layers of all the things that you've collected. And this is how you transform it. And then you can visualize yourself going to a better, pure land. Okay? So with that, we're going to do a little meditation. So give me 1 second. Went through a lot of things again today, but I was hoping that you have some sense of If you're sleeping, waking up all day long, eating, showering, walking, working all the time, you can actually do some practice. So this meditation, concluding meditation, is remember at the, when we did motivation, we kind of said Shakyamuni Buddha just to be there, just stay there. So we're going to bring him back again. And however, after we do some mantras, we're going to visualize him. We're going to see the light coming into us. It will absorb into us. We will arise as a enlightened being. And then we'll, this will leave a nice imprint before we end the class. But be prepared that the dedication is a little long. So be relaxed when you're doing this dedication. That great dedication. If you listen to the words and kind of visualize, it will cover everything that we have covered during the last 5 or 6 sessions. Okay? It will cover all of those things. Excuse me. Okay, to start with. Okay, again, make your spine straight. So Shakyamuni Buddha is already here since we invoked him earlier. But we'll just remember that the presence of the pure enlightenment, all of our teachers, all guides and protectors, angels, all are merging into the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha. In our heart, we have that sincere request to always be guided and protected by his energy, and especially that we ourselves might quickly be transformed into enlightened ones ourselves, perfectly what is needed to help others. And wishing to be free of all that which prevents us from attaining enlightenment, and wishing to receive all the blessings of realizations of the path, making that request to Shakyamuni Buddha to please bless our minds. So he comes to the crown of our head as we recite the mantra. We visualize a purifying stream of white nectar and light showering down on us, removing all impurities, all negativities and mental veils, all obstacles to generating the realizations of the path within our mind stream. Tayatha Om Mune Mune Mahamune Soha. Sorry, my throat is going back. Final purifying stream comes down, cleansing our body and mind. excuse me. So as we recite this mantra again, golden light beams of nectar pour forth from Shakyamuni Buddha's body and mind, blessing our mind stream with all qualities and realizations of enlightenment. Shakyamuni Buddha then melts into the stream of golden light, enters the crown of our head, and descends to our hearts, becoming inseparably mixed with body and mind. Our body and mind becomes pervaded by golden light, and we are clarified in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha, a fully enlightened one. From the wish to benefit all beings, we recite the mantra again, sending out streams of golden light from our heart through every pore of our body, reaching out to all living beings in all different realms of existence, blessing their minds, freeing them from suffering, and bringing them to perfect happiness, transforming all environments into pure lands. Tayatha Om Mune Mune Mahamune Soha. All beings and their environment melt into this golden light, which absorbs into our hearts. Our body and mind are pervaded by golden light. We dissolve from above and below into place of our hearts, becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, until we completely disappear, no I to be found anywhere. From this state, from a wish to benefit others, our mind takes form a shaft of golden light. This grows in a size, taking the shape and form of our bodies until we arise as pure light beings, abiding in the world solely for the purpose of benefiting others. Yes, this is me. And then we dedicate all this positive energy from all the effort that we've made over this course, and we'll do the very extensive way that Lama Zopa Rinpoche has written to us. So we dedicate, as a result of all my merits of the three times, past, present, and future, and all the merits of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and sentient beings, may the altruistic wish to achieve enlightenment be generated in my mind, and in the mind of all sentient beings without even seconds delay. And may that altruistic wish that has already been generated be increased. Whatever suffering sentient beings experience may ripen on me. Whatever merit and resulting happiness I have accumulated may ripen on others. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and goodness, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Please remain until samsara ends. May the glorious gurus live lives be long and stable. May all beings equaling the extent of space have happiness. May I and others without exception accumulate merit and purify negativities. And may all be blessed to quickly attain Buddhahood. Due to the merits of the three times created by me and by others and by the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, may we be able to meet perfectly qualified Mahayana virtuous friends in all of our future lives. From our side, may we always see them as enlightened. May we always perform only actions most pleasing to his holy mind and the virtuous friends. May we always be able to fulfill their holy wishes immediately. Because of these merits, may my actions never cause even the slightest harm to any sentient being. Instead, may they bring only the greatest of benefit. Whatever the suffering or happy life I experience, may it only be of the greatest benefits to others, causing them to achieve enlightenment as quickly as possible. Due to all the merits of the three times accumulated by me and by others, merely by seeing, hearing, remembering, and touching or talking to me, may any being be freed that very second from all sufferings, diseases, spirit harms, negative karmas, and obscurations, and abide in the peerless happiness of full enlightenment forever. Because of all the merits of the three times created by me and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and other sentient beings, may there be no wars, famine, disease, quarreling, fighting, or unhappy minds. May there be great prosperity, and may everything needed to be easily obtained. May all human beings in the world be guided by spiritual leaders teaching only Dharma, and may everyone enjoy the happiness of Dharma. So until samsara ends, may the teaching that benefits not be moved away by the winds of the evil superstitions. May the whole world be always filled with people who have understood and found stable faith in true teachings. May I pass the time day and night thinking and examining by what means this teaching can spread in the minds of all sentient beings. So let's send out this positive energy to all those we know of all times who are especially in need. May they receive all this benefit of this effort. May their minds abide in peace. May they be free from fear, and may they have only happiness and causes of happiness in their minds. And may anyone who hears this teaching, thinks about this teaching, reads this teaching, or remembers this teaching, or comes out into contact in any way with these teachings in that moment, may they be freed from all sufferings. May they achieve their highest goals and quickly become exactly what is needed to benefit all. Thank you. So, in the closing, I'd like to make my own comments. Excuse me. I'm going to first thank all of you for participating. My story is going bad. And then I suggest that you set up an appointment with Geshe-la. If you have any questions, excuse me. Pardon. So you can get his blessings. So you can, your practice can be blessed. Also meet with Dhanasis. If you haven't taken refuge, if you collectively request, she can arrange for Geshe-la to give you refuge. Okay? That's very important. Try to take a precept for a half a day or so. Especially when Geshe-la gives on a holy day, try it. It may benefit you a lot. I would also say try and take a retreat time. Go to a retreat or two. Sometimes they offer it at Nolan's Farms. Okay? And I want you to review this prayer book. Find and kind of make your own map. This is what I will do. This is what I will do daily. This is what I will do on weekends. Something like make a little map. See how it helps your mind. And I'll my own request that you make Lamrim the way of your life. Lama Tsongkhapa has given us such beautiful commentary. Pabangka Rinpoche, Lama Tisha, Geshe-la does such beautiful training. Lama Zopa Rinpoche provides wonderful training. Just make that part of your life. You know, that's my request. Take some notes. Learn more about it. Find out the questions that you have. Ask Geshe-la. And I just hope that this class has given you some idea of why daily practice is so important. Right? And that it's bringing that gap of dharma and mind closer and closer together. It becomes part of your life, and that you all become enlightened. And so I want to wish you good luck. And tayata mune mune mahamune soa. Thank you.